The gospel is a message of grace and hope. Maybe we have come to believe that God is so great and perfect, and He is, and that we are so sinful and worthless, and we are, that we're never going to make it to heaven. Life is tough. It's a daily struggle. So, from so many angles. But our God is greater. Yet after all is said and done in this old life, God loves us. And He can and He will save us. If we really serve Him from our hearts. It's a great picture, isn't it? I'm not going to talk about David and Goliath today. Other than to say this. When I read the passage about the battle, I'm convinced there was no miracles involved. David killed that giant because of his great faith in God. In the New Testament, Paul would say that kind of faith this way: I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I want this morning to encourage us about the great and awesome power of God and how important it is for us to serve Him. David was a man of great faith when he went out and challenged Goliath. Someone says, rightly so, he was not expecting a miracle. That's why he took 5 stones. In case he missed. Today I would like to encourage us to face our Goliath. Take 5 stones. But trust in God with all of your heart, and we too can be victorious. The first thing I think would be important for us to say this morning, that God has the love and the power to save us. And we need to remember that. When we read great passages like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Isn't that a great and awesome text? And yet what that text says to all of us is that God has the love and He has the power to save us. And whoever believes in Him, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you're from, if you believe in Him and you trust Him and you obey Him, you will not perish. That is the kind of faith David had when he faced Goliath. That is the kind of faith that God is asking of us, that we not perish, but have eternal life. Read with me in the book of Psalms. This is one of the most beautiful passages about our salvation, our great and awesome and powerful God. Notice the words, Psalms 103, beginning then at verse 8. The text says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He's removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame, and He is mindful that we are but dust. Yes, indeed, God has the power and the love to save us. We understand from Peter that the Lord is not slow about His promise, and as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And this message is the message of God to man through His gospel. And it is the gospel that we preach to everyone that we possibly can. The saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, the devil is out there deceiving folks, making them think that God cannot possibly save me. I am so wicked, I am so vile, I've done so much. God will not save me. God is so great, He is so perfect, He's in heaven. He surely is not even aware of me. But it doesn't matter how many scriptures you read in His Word. It all points to this. God is powerful, God is loving, and He will save you. When we consider the idea of God's love and grace, we must emphasize as well, as great as God's grace is, and as great as His love is, that does not give us a license to sin. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean by that, because God is love and because His grace is so awesome, does it mean, okay, well, God can save me, He will save me, therefore, I can just do whatever I want to? The Word of God does not teach that. In fact, just the opposite. Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the text says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" In the same chapter, verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." In the book of Titus, chapter 2, Paul confirms again the idea of our not having, because of God's grace and love, the freedom to just do whatever we please. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared." In fact, grace even teaches us something. The text says, "Bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." What does this passage point out? This passage as well points out, is God's grace awesome? Yes. Is His love great? Yes. Will He save us? Yes. But this is what His grace teaches us, that we must change our lives and not live wickedly. In 1 John chapter 1, even to Christians, this message is emphasized. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, John says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Again, what is the message? God's grace. God's love. Will He save us? Yes. But He expects us to live righteously. And when we sin as children of God, when we do make mistakes, and we will, if we will come to God humbly confessing that, He will forgive us all of our sins. We can go to heaven if we really want to. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, the Scripture says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming." You know, Jesus taught while He was on the earth that He was coming back. He told His disciples that. The epistles are continually teaching us about the coming back of our Lord. And yet, this passage, John is saying that if we abide in Him, if we continue to serve Him and obey Him, then we can have great confidence when He appears. And we won't have to shrink away in shame and hide because we know that we haven't done right. Now, there's a great principle here that we must not miss. We know when we're doing right. We know when we're doing wrong. God wants us to have confidence and joy when we do right. He wants us to feel shame and guilt when we do wrong. So let none of us be deceived into thinking that we don't know whether we're going to heaven or not. We do know. We can know. Do you have confidence? By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. I guess most of us think of the day of judgment as this kind of a we're not sure thing. That when we stand before God in the day of judgment and He comes to us and He starts judging us according to the deeds that we've done in the body, whether good or bad, I mean, we're sitting there sweating it out. And we're thinking, well, I don't know what He's going to say. Is He going to say good job, or is He going to say depart from me? You know, we're not sure. The Gospels teaches us, yes, God's grace and love is awesome. But He can save us. In order for us to save us, we must trust as did David when he approached the giant. David approached the giant in all confidence in God's power, because God had made a promise to His people Israel. He said, "If you will go out and fight against My enemies, I will deliver your enemies into your hands." That took faith. Saul and his men did not have faith in God. God's Word said it. They had it in scrolls. They could open it up and read it. But they didn't believe it. God has said to us in the scroll, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Do we believe it? Then face the giant and let the stone fly. Because we will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What does that mean? God's great love and His grace and His mercy and power allows me in this old wicked world that is filled full of trials and temptations and mountains to climb. God will enable us through our faith to be saved. This is the great confidence that the apostle had, and he mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Probably one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture about going to heaven. For it is Paul who says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." You see, as someone has rightly said, good things come to those who believe. Better things come to those who are patient. And the best things come to those who never give up. Do you know what we have trouble with on Monday, Tuesday, and even Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? It's not giving up. Not getting discouraged. Keeping on, keeping on. And if we can drag ourselves in here on Sunday, and we get pumped up a little bit by the awesome preaching of our preacher, we leave feeling like we can conquer the world. And then we go back out there for 15 minutes and we're down in the dumps again. Well, what we've got to be able to learn to do, we've got to learn to have faith and trust and confidence in our great God that is still the same powerful God on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock as He is on Sunday morning. And we must trust Him. And we must face that Goliath and throw the stone of faith. That's why Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And if that passage, brethren, is not on your memory list, if that is not marked in your Bibles, mark it. It's the kind of passage that should remind you on a daily basis that we can go to heaven. Someone has said ability is what you're capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how you do it. It takes all three every day. Well, God has given us talents and abilities. And very few of us ever really use all of the abilities that God gives us. I have pleaded with the men of this congregation, and many of you have stepped up to the plate, and many of you still need prodding to do what you have a talent to do. There comes a time when David was not encouraged to fight Goliath, and he did it because of his own ability and faith in God. Men, when are you going to be David? Our motivation. Is not heaven the greatest of motivation that you have? Do we forget that on Tuesday? Do we forget that on Thursday? Do you still want to go to heaven or just on Sunday? I don't know when the Lord's coming, but do you think He'll come on Tuesday? We're all hoping and praying that He comes on Sunday when we're singing here how we love Jesus. That's when we hope He comes. Our attitude. Oh man, our attitude stinks sometimes, doesn't it? People make us angry. We become bitter. We become upset over so many things. But it takes that ability and motivation and attitude on a daily basis that's based upon a great faith in God to be what we need to be. Is it not true, brethren, that our Lord said, "Few there be that find it"? We should be really happy to be a Christian. We should not come to worship services and have this terrible frown on our face. Is the old proverbial saying, like we were raised on a dill pickle. Just sour and bitter and down. Of all people on this planet, we should be happy because we're Christians and we have heaven as our home. Each of us should be willing to know about our weaknesses and thoughts. Do you not understand that that's part of the reasons we assemble all the times that we do? Does there not need to be some pats on the back? Does there not need to be some hugs? Does there not need to be some prayers of encouragement? Absolutely. But doesn't there need to be a kick? Doesn't there need to be a motivation in regards to reproving and rebuking from time to time? Should we not want to know our weaknesses so that we can do better and improve ourselves? Each of us must be determined to correct our own lives. You cannot get to heaven, brethren, because of me. You have to be determined yourself to have the faith and confidence in God's grace and love. You have to be the one to open up your Bible and read it. You have to be the one that gets on your knees and prays to your God. You have to be the one to make confession of your sin. I can't do it for you. You have to do it for you. We have to understand that trying harder should be our daily goal. Doing more. Doing better. But I'm afraid by Monday morning, we have forgotten the exhortation of Sunday morning. And for the next several days, we're back to our old pitiful self. And the devil has just kicked us around. And if somebody asks you about the hope that you have within you, you ain't really sure. Question. If you had been back there in David's day, would you have gone out and fought Goliath? The answer for most of us would be no. In Hebrews chapter 10, one of my all-time favorite passages in the Bible, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." What a great and awesome text. And I might just ask each of us here this morning that are Christians, does that sound like us? Is this the Anderson Church? We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Is that us? Well, we are only collectively as a group as the weakest in faith among us. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So the question that I end with this morning, what are you doing? What are you doing? Bound for heaven? Or bound for hell? Your choice. God's grace, God's love, His power to save has appeared. This morning, if you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, all things are ready. All things are prepared. This morning, if you're a child of God and you have not been living the way you ought, why not today? Pick up a sling. Pick up some stones. And go face Goliath with great faith and trust in God. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Beautiful Father Jesus.